everybody. I'm in the movie Twister. You can tell because I'm shouting a lot. I'm Joe Foljam.
Tornade do's and tornade don'ts. I'm Kevin Leeson.
The F6 Fujita Supreme. 379 miles per hour in your mouth. I'm Torrin Atkinson. It's caustic soda.
Do you guys know what the...
What's that sound? Tornadoes.
That's... How many? That was...
That was an F0.0001.
On the Fujita scale?
Yeah.
Which is the scale to measure tornado destructiveness?
Yeah. Everything I know about tornadoes I learned from Twister.
Well, we'll get to that a little later.
Mm-hmm.
The Fujita scale, or the EF scale for... Enhanced Fujita scale, if you prefer to use that one, post-1971, I think it was.
That's the one you've applied that pump to, the enhanced Fujita scale. Oh, no, you take those pills, extends.
Yes.
To enhance the Fujita scale.
It goes up to F6. I'm going to read off a couple of descriptions of what's happening, and you tell me where you think it is on the Fujita scale.
Okay.
I like this game, actually. I'm looking forward to this one.
Cars thrown and large missiles generated.
This is from what to what?
From F0 to F6.
Cars thrown. I mean, that's pretty huge. I'm going to go 5. I'm going to go F5.
Joe?
F4.
F4 is the correct.
Oh,
it's a devastating tornado. Yeah. 207 to 260 miles per hour.
Yet again, I bring my ignorance to the table.
Well-constructed houses are leveled. Structures with weak foundations are blown off some distance. Mobile homes pushed off foundations are overturned. How about this one? What level is that?
Well, that sounds like less than what we just had, so I'm going to go F3.
Mobile homes are pretty weak. Like, they're mobile. I'm going to go with, like, an F1 even.
Again. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, my God.
Joe's 2 for O. Or something like that.
Two for O. Two for O.
The O here represents you, Kevin. You are the O.
Torrin Atkinson, statistician.
That's F1, moderate tornado, 73 to 112 miles per hour. The lower limit is the beginning of hurricane wind speed. Peels surface off roofs, mobile homes pushed off foundations, as described, and moving autos are pushed off the roads. And attached garages may be destroyed.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
There's the next one. This is the last
one. We're running out of numbers.
Inconceivable tornado.
Inconceivable!
What level is that?
I'm with 6.
That's an easy one for you, Kevin. Yeah. These winds are very unlikely. The small area of damage they may produce would probably not be recognizable, along with the mess produced by F4 and F5 wind that would surround the F6 winds.
Hmm.
Missiles such as cars and refrigerators would do serious secondary damage that cannot be directly identified as F6 damage. If this level is ever achieved, evidence for it might only be found in some manner of ground swirl pattern, for it may never be identifiable through engineering studies.
That's total destruction.
That's the F6, baby.
Now, from what I understand, the F-series goes up to 6 simply because F6 is the maximum possible on planet Earth.
It says 319 to 379 miles per hour for the F6.
That it's something to do with our atmosphere and our gravity and all that stuff, that it just cannot possibly be any bigger than the F6. But the scale that I've seen actually does theoretically go up to F12.
What?
Which again, can happen on Earth, but I guess you would have the scale in case you do see a tornado somewhere else.
Right.
F12 being Mach 1 winds.
Interesting.
A tornado that breaks the speed of sound?
That's correct, yeah.
So what would happen? Would it just like explode multiple times, or would it just bam? And then just be beyond it.
I think it'd be a constant boom.
Yeah.
Constant sonic boom.
Just a rumble. Who knows? That might even cause it to slow down or speed up or open a wormhole. I don't know. I don't know. It's not going to happen on Earth because F6 is the most, and F12 is just, yeah.
That's cool. I'm kind of fascinated with the concept of a tornado that breaks the speed of sound.
So, Kevin, you did your research. How are tornadoes formed?
Why must you mock me so? How are tornadoes formed?
Don't say magic.
It's a kind of magic.
Swirliness?
Swirliness is one of the major contributors, yes.
Okay.
Joe, do you have an answer to this question?
Aren't they formed where hot and cold air can meet?
Ooh, yes.
I was totally going to say that.
Well, you had your chance. And a supercell is a thunderstorm that is characterized by the presence of a mesocyclone, a deep, continuously rotating updraft. And that's where tornadoes usually are coming from.
Wait, a cyclone and a tornado?
It's like the storm that forms tornadoes is the supercell.
But you just called it a cyclone. Is a cyclone and a tornado the exact same thing?
No. Maybe.
I believe a cyclone is just it's an area of closed circular fluid motion rotating in the same direction as the Earth.
There you go.
And what's a tornado?
Tornado is where you get a very tight cyclone that also connects with a cumulus cloud at the top, so you can actually see the air swirling.
Yeah, when you look at a tornado, what you're usually seeing is moisture and or debris, especially dirt.
So what's a twister?
Is a tornado.
Okay. It's just not a cyclone.
Nickname.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Like Kev.
And tornadoes turn cyclonically, which is to say if you're above the equator, they turn clockwise. If you're below the equator, they turn counterclockwise, although not always, interestingly enough.
No, you get that backwards.
Sometimes you get
Northern hemisphere counterclockwise, southern hemisphere is clockwise.
Okay.
So is that the way that toilets swirl too? Toilets go the same way, right?
They are supposed to. However, there's so many minor variations in what can cause that. You can make a toilet that goes any way you want, really. Oh, okay.
The jets in the toilet will always be more powerful than this Coriolis effect.
But when you're dealing with massive amounts of air over, a large area, the Coriolis effect is much more prevalent. So it forces them to go that way.
There's an old-timey hockey player named Cyclone Taylor.
And you can get that delicious ice cream treat called a cyclone, if I recall. It has all the different colors in a swirl.
I've been on the roller coaster of the cyclone.
There you go.
At Coney Island.
Let's talk about extreme tornadoes, deadly twisters. You guys ever been in a tornado before? Have you ever seen a tornado before in real life?
No.
I've not.
Well, if you were in the U.S. in 1925, depending on what state you're in, you may have encountered the tri-state tornado.
How many states did it cover?
I think it was three.
I'm taking my ignorance to a whole new level.
Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana, March 18th, 1925. Likely an F5, though tornadoes were not ranked on any scale in that era. It had the longest duration, 3.5 hours, the longest path length, 219 miles, 352 kilometers, and it killed 695 people.
Woo!
Wow.
How come? Did it land in a very populated area, or... Well, it's so powerful, it sucked people right up into it for miles around.
It was very powerful, and it went on for a good long time.
Do we have any idea how long the average touchdown is? Is that what we call it? When it hits the earth and starts destroying things, is that called a touchdown? Am I just making that up?
We can say that it is.
Yeah. Touchdown, and not the good one.
I was looking at the map that they had for the superstorm, I think it's called, which we'll just talk about a little later.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, this is a storm that basically carved a path, and it showed where all the tornadoes touched down. Some of the little scars, I guess you would say, like super
divots.
Long. Yeah, and others are just little blips. So to give you a number, I would say meh.
Definitely,
I don't know what the average is, but there's definitely a wide range of how long.
Right.
And for some of these reports, they're not even sure if it's one tornado or if it's a bunch of tornadoes.
Right, because the effects that create a tornado can create tornadoes in quick succession.
Because if you're not watching it all the time, especially back in 1925, you don't know if one tornado stops and then starts again another half mile down the road kind of a thing.
Right. If it's two tornadoes or if it's just the same one touching down several times. I get that.
Definitely the same storm, though, so I'd say. And
so 3.5 hours, 695 dead.
Yeah, but that's a drop in the bucket compared to the Daltipur Solturia tornado from 1989.
How do you pronounce that again?
Don't know. This is in Bangladesh,
ooh,
I believe.
Densely populated.
Problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It's going to, for tornado enthusiasts, maybe a positive.
1989 killed approximately 1,300 people. 12,000 people were injured.
Woo!
Every home within a 6-square-kilometer area of the tornado's path was completely destroyed.
Every home within a 6-square-kilometer. So
a lot of this is slum homes. Right,
okay, because it touches down, and every structure within 6.5 kilometers of where
six
it hit.
Kilometers.
6 square kilometers where it hit the ground. Knock the houses to the ground.
That's what it said. The devastation was so complete that barring some skeletons of trees, there were no signs of standing infrastructures.
Wow.
The tornado was estimated to be approximately 1 mile wide and had a path that was about 50 miles long.
Wait, trees have skeletons?
Yep. Bone. Yep. Solid bone.
Wow.
Branches. In Bangladesh.
Oh, okay.
These are Bangladeshi trees.
It's known as the skeleton tree.
Yeah. That sort of speaks probably just as much as Bangladeshi building codes as it does the power of the storm.
It's true. But
did it say what the rank was? Was that a 6?
Doesn't say.
Correct if I'm wrong, but in things I really learned from tornadoes, I learned from Twister, the Steven Spielberg masterpiece. didn't they say in that movie that the most powerful storm was an F5?
I think that's the most powerful.
Well, that's the thing. As I read from the description of F6, it's inconceivable.
Okay, I've got it.
I totally thought you were going to do the inconceivable voice for Princess Bride again.
The Dalatpur Saltiriya tornado was an F5.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
Now, the most extensive that I mentioned earlier was Super Outbreak.
Sounds like a bad sci-fi TV movie. Oh, TM.
Super Outbreak?
Yeah. Copyright.
Affected a large area of the U.S. and extreme southern Ontario in 1974 in April. This featured an incredible 148 tornadoes.
What?
In only 18 hours.
148 tornadoes in 18 hours. That's
6 of them were F5 intensity and 24 of them were F4 intensity.
Holy crap.
What? Where was this?
In the central United States. Probably in Tornado Alley.
I would imagine. 148 tornadoes in 18 hours.
Yep.
That is mental.
A staggering 16 on the ground at the same time during the peak of the outbreak. 330 people were killed, or thereabouts. And the 13 states that were struck, Alabama, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Michigan, Mississippi, North Carolina, Ohio, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia.
Wow.
Mountain Mama.
Virginia and West Virginia.
Country home. Country road, take me home.
But interesting enough, this the super outbreak helped the National Weather Service debunk a number of tornado myths by providing solid evidence. Do you know any tornado myths?
Tornado myths.
The god of tornado?
That's right.
Cyclonus.
Caused by Thor flushing.
So reading this list, I'd never heard of any of these tornado myths.
Oh, bring them on.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Tornadoes will not follow terrain into steep valleys.
You know why we probably have never heard these tornado myths?
Because we don't live in Tornado Alley.
Because we don't live where there are tornadoes, so you don't have to create myths to make yourself feel better about your life.
I don't think it's that kind of a myth.
No, it's like, oh, no, you live on a hill. It'll never come up there.
If you rotate clockwise along with a tornado, you'll be safe.
If a tornado's coming at your mobile home, all you do is run inside and flush all the toilets at the same time, and the tornado will miss you.
Tornadoes bypass mobile homes that are watching Fox TV.
Here's another
myth. None of these are myths. These are all true.
Oh, yeah.
True realism.
Explains the popularity of Fox in tornado areas.
One of the myths is a tornado won't touch down at the confluence of major rivers.
Is that true or is that false?
No, it's a myth.
It's a myth.
Oh.
Not true.
See? That's the part of that's why they call it a myth.
They would think that.
So these are all untrue.
These are all untrue.
Oh,
but for until this happened, people thought that you know,
might be possible.
Might be possible.
Let's build our mobile home park here.
On the confluence of major rivers.
Confluence of major rivers. We'll be safe.
Tornadoes don't go up and down steep or high hills. Also myth. Those are the only things on the myth list.
Seeing as how they go up and down in the sky.
Yeah, I don't know why anybody would think that a tornado couldn't climb a hill.
It's like going Superman can't possibly get to the top of a building. He can only leap over it.
Who else has tornado facts?
We know what tornadoes are called when they're formed over water.
Water spouts.
Oh, I thought you were going to get it wrong, and I knew that one. You stole my thunder, Torrin Atkinson.
Thunder, also prevalent.
Yeah, during water spouts. Or during tornadoes.
Water spouts are pretty cool looking. If you take a look at, we'll get some of the pictures up of them.
Yeah, there's actually quite a few videos on YouTube
seen,
as well.
I saw a video on one of those Destroyed in Seconds shows, and they were in the middle of a boat race, and they got...
water spouted?
Water spouted. I guess that's the way to turn it into a verb.
Water spoutized.
Yeah, they got hit by a storm, and it turned into this giant water spout, and there's this video, and they're videotaping it as this massive water spout is heading right towards their yacht.
Oh, yeah.
And it's coming right at them, and they're all basically kissing their asses goodbye. And it lifts, like, feet from hitting them.
Wow.
Like, meters away from striking the boat. You see it, like, literally dissipate and lift.
What are you doing out boat racing in tornado weather?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there was definitely a race.
Although maybe it could be that...
It's the death race.
It could be that the high-speed winds are actually up quite a bit. I mean, you get that sometimes where you've got relatively still air, or at least, you know, just windy air down at the bottom, and then up only a few hundred feet, it's very
and
heavy
for
winds.
For a yacht race, you kind of need winds, right? You want to be in a windy part of the world.
You know,
make your sailboat go fast.
I guess so. Yeah. Perhaps tornadoes is the only environmental.
Yeah, the water spout environment is probably the only downside to
that you want to race
equation.
In. They form over water. They are generally weaker and slower than tornadoes on land. But unlike getting into your basement,
yeah, you can't really run and hide.
You can dive to the bottom of the ocean to escape.
That'll cause a couple of other problems.
Can
though.
You? Do we know how deep they go?
I think they're on the surface. It's just the wind pattern, right?
Yeah, it says on the internet that if a strike is imminent, it's probably best to dive overboard, as you then have a better chance of avoiding injury from debris if your boat is torn to pieces.
Right.
And that is how most of the injuries and deaths happen, is from the debris.
Yeah, right. Like something gets picked up and then lands on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Splat.
Ball bearings. Paper clips.
Pieces of straw. No.
Roofs.
Mythbusters debunked that one, huh?
A piece of straw?
Yeah, that a piece of straw picked up by a hurricane or a tornado can go through like a piece of wood.
I love Mythbusters.
They debunked that one.
Yeah.
That is not possible.
How far do things get carried if they're lifted in a tornado? I'm glad you asked.
Miles or kilometers?
let's say miles.
So what's the farthest thing anything has ever been recorded being picked up and thrown by a tornado? I'm going to go
not
with...
Not a person, but just a thing.
I'm going to go with 150 miles.
I'm going to go with like 500 miles.
Well, those may all be true. actually, Kevin's is not true. Because the furthest known distance a photo or a piece of paper was carried was a little over 200 miles.
I was closer. I got the prices right.
Yeah, Price is Right.
That's true, without going over.
Price is Right rule.
I won Price is Right.
Now, in 1915, in Great Bend, Kansas, debris from a town was carried over 85 miles. And after passing through the town, the tornado went through or near a wildlife area, and hundreds of dead ducks fell from the sky 25 miles northeast of the end of the path.
Sweet. I love duck. Free duck.
Free duck. Hundreds of
them. That would have been wicked. Right. Hundreds of
and
free
they've all
duck.
Been plucked.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all
and
you,
I wins.
And you like your ducks shaken and stirred.
They're tenderized.
Did I talk about the word origin of the phobia?
No.
Oh, my God.
Let's hear it.
What?
Latin. Oh. Your favorite.
Yeah.
Tornare, to turn, meaning extremely violent whirlwind.
And where'd the dough come from?
Dough. From Homer Simpson, of course.
Okay.
And the fear of tornadoes and hurricanes is a lilapsophobia.
Lilapsophobia?
Yeah, I couldn't find any etymology information on that one.
Wow, that's just such a...
Not to be confused with lilacophobia, which is the fear of flowers.
Fear of purple
sweet
flowers.
Sweet-smelling purple flowers.
Yeah.
I can't even think of a theory as to how that would have come to pass.
No, I have no idea.
Yeah. I think I would be too in awe of the like amazing majesty of a tornado
to be afraid
to
of
be
it?
Like immediately afraid of it. Like unless you know it was like really really close.
Right.
But I would just be like, oh man, check that shit out. That
well, that's
awesome.
That's
yeah,
something that
it's something
you
really
and
tangible
Doc,
right?
and Mr. Will Keller have in common.
Yeah,
because Will Keller was picked up
and
survived
flung.
To tell the tale.
Oh, really?
This was in 1928. And after this all happened, he ran like to the local reporter, what do they call it, newspaper
but
or whatever.
He ran there very slowly because he was bobbing.
Yeah,
he was weaving.
All,
he was very dizzy.
Yeah,
his
the family.
The birds around his head.
So the family had entered the cellar, and he was in the doorway just about to enter, but he was watching the tornado.
Wow.
And he got sucked up into it.
That's exactly what happened to him? Seriously?
Yeah.
Like Joe's little story about how he would react
check
to a tornado?
Check that shit out!
There was a strong gassy odor, and it seemed that I could not breathe. There was a screaming, hissing sound coming directly from the end of the funnel. I looked up, and to my astonishment, I saw right up into the heart of the tornado. There was a circular opening in the center of the funnel, about 50 to 100 feet in diameter, and extended straight upward for a distance of at least 1/2 mile, as best I could judge under the circumstances. The walls of this opening were of rotating clouds, and the whole was made brilliantly visible by constant flashes of lightning, which zigzagged from side to side. Had it not been for the lightning, I could not have seen the opening, nor any distance up into it anyway. And around the lower rim of the great vortex, small tornadoes were constantly forming and breaking away. These looked like tails as they ride their way around the end of the funnel. It was three that made the hissing noise. Oh, it was these that made the hissing noise.
Now, don't be confused by that accent. This man was actually a theoretical physicist with a PhD. It is just unfortunate that the Southern accent makes it. That was really good.
That was way more entertaining with the accent.
It was,
I guarantee
but,
if that was a straight read,
but,
I wouldn't
no,
have
was,
been nearly
like
as
was,
enraptured.
Yeah, it was good English.
But
yeah.
It was also excellent descriptions, right? Like,
yeah.
Here's a guy being flung around by a tornado and knows enough to, like, look and estimate, you know.
Well, he must have been up there for a while to be able to ascertain all this stuff.
Like, I don't know if I would be able to, well, it was about 150, 350 feet and, like, yeah, just really good description. I feel bad that we lampooned him with that accent.
Unless that's exactly how he sounded, which is possible.
Especially because he's a
It's improbable, but it's possible.
He's a fellow tornado.
Where was he sucked up in the tornado? Where was he from?
In Greensburg, Kansas.
Oh, well, you know.
Close enough. That's I always say that.
It's not a real thick Kansas
accent. You got to feel bad about being like a – you got to feel bad about – for people who are like absolutely brilliant like scientists and stuff but come,
come from the
hick south. Now, if you take a look at the string theory over here, y'all are going to see – like the guy's the most brilliant guy on the planet, but everybody's like, who is this yokel?
What a buffoon.
Yeah, yeah, like Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking could have been discredited ages ago if it wasn't for his cool robot voice. That's what's kept him on the on the calendar, on the physics calendar for so long.
Little secret, he doesn't actually have Lou Gehrig's disease. He just is trying to hide a really embarrassing accent.
No, it's all PR.
But Mr. Keller is not the only survivor of a tornado who's been sucked up into the middle of it. There's Roy Hall, soybean farmer from Texas in 1951. Says that baseball-sized hail began to rain down, and before he could make his way into the basement, a loud rumble erupted. And his roof was ripped off, and he got sucked into the eye of the tornado.
Wow.
He also reported the nonstop bluish lightning, which made things visible so you could see what was going on. There were also the small mini tornadoes spinning on the smooth side of the walls inside the tornado.
Is there any discussion whatsoever on how they landed? Like, did they just plop right back on their feet again, or were they all busted up and kind of
It doesn't say anything about injuries. The same storm that killed 100 others spared Hall and his family.
This is what I really want to know is like how busted up this guy was. Or it would be awesome if he landed without a scratch, right?
Okay, so he's got enough lift to carry him up and spin him around, right? And tornadoes, and as long as he's not being hit by stuff that's also being picked up, right?
It is the debris, right?
Right.
That is
it's the debris.
Major.
And then a tornado doesn't just go click and turn off, and you're like a cartoon person stuck in midair holding up a sign going yipe, and then you fall. The tornado just starts to lose power, and as it does, you would, I think, slowly sink and then eventually hit the ground. Maybe get some ground burn, as you skid a little bit. But I don't. As long as you're not like landing in a pit of steaks or on somebody's ripped off house full of sharpened wood bits.
What if they are tenderized steaks? Oh, you mean the other kind of steaks?
Yeah.
But that's actually wait. There's more.
Oh,
whoa!
As recently as 2006, Matt Suter from Missouri.
Missouri, as they like to say.
March 12, 2006, was carried 1,307 feet in his boxer shorts.
1,307 feet. Oh, that's like a quarter of a mile.
And the only thing he had to show for it was a gash in his head from being hit by a lamp.
There you go. Debris.
He ended up being relatively uninjured.
But the longest previously documented incident happened in Bodle, SD. What's that? South Dakota.
South Dakota.
In 1955, when a tornado carried a 9-year-old girl and her pony 1,000 feet before setting them down virtually unhurt.
What?
I'm not leaving you, Lulu Bell.
No. You know what even better is if she was riding the pony. She was like trying to get away, and it like picked her up, and then they hit the ground running, and it is like the pony's legs never stop moving,
just like Wizard of Oz.
She had me, and the sun was always shining. one day I left my girl. I left her far behind me. And now I'm lost, so golden lost. Not even God can find me.
In the news,
yeah.
Tallest man-made twister.
A man-made twister.
A tornado has been created to prevent smoke from suffocating people in the exhibit areas of the Germany's Mercedes-Benz Museum.
What?
In cases of fire.
Oh, okay.
They built this tornado creator to suck all the smoke out of the building.
Oh.
144 jets, which power this baby up in 7 minutes, gets 28 tons of air moving at very high speeds and creates a low-pressure column at the eye of the system.
There was a movie I worked on a couple years ago called Riddles of the Sphinx. Terrible sci-fi TV movie. But our special effects guy needed to create a little whirling dervish of flame.
Oh, yeah.
And he managed it with like a blowtorch and these oxygen jets, like blowing oxygen and propane in a cyclonic fashion, and created, like, it was probably about 5 or 6 feet high, pure flame tornado. It was really cool.
Flame tornado.
Yeah.
7 confirmed dead in U.S. tornado. Comma,
wait,
storm.
I didn't tell you how tall this tornado was.
You said 140.
And I can't because I didn't write it down, but I think it's 19 feet.
19 feet.
That's the largest man-made one?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not very impressive.
So we do have some tornado news.
Yeah, but it's man-made.
That's the impressive part. The height of it isn't very impressive, which is probably why you didn't write it down.
How tall was it when the Flash would run around things to put out fires? How tall did that tornado get?
That's Flash-made.
Yeah.
He's not a human. He's a meta-human.
Yeah, it's true. 7 confirmed dead in U.S. tornado. At least 7 people were confirmed killed as tornadoes and storms battered Midwest U.S. state of Ohio overnight, authorities said on Sunday. Dozens were injured across the Midwest. A local police chief in Lake Township, Northwest Ohio, said 2 more injured died in hospital Sunday, bringing the toll to 7.
Hmm?
The storms and wind destroyed about 50 houses and buildings and damaged many more, including a high school gymnasium in the state's northwest. Local fire department said a tornado left over 10 kilometers of destruction. And I've got another one, a little closer to home for us here in Canada, Leamington, Ontario. A terrifying storm, likely a tornado, descended on this southwestern Ontario community so quickly early Sunday that some residents barely had time to get out of bed before it left a path of destruction.
That's your wake-up call right there.
Yeah, I was about to ask, do tornadoes happen at night as well as day?
They happen mostly in the evening between like 5 and 9 or something.
Right, because
like
it's
that.
The right conditions.
That's
right?
When the, you know, air is right cooling, temperature has been really hot.
But yeah. They do happen sometimes at other times.
That would
like
be
2 a.m. in the morning.
A really unpleasant way to wake up.
Yeah.
Now, there's a great little quote here that they've pulled out from one of the survivors. We're truly blessed because that tree is laying in our son's bed right now.
That is blessed.
Because now I haven't read the entire article, but I'm guessing he's not blessed because his son is dead and he doesn't have to take care of him. I think he's saying he's blessed because his son wasn't in bed.
Oh, I see.
I would think if you're blessed, a tornado would come nowhere near you ever.
That brings me back to the stuff I was talking about in the earlier segment where that 19-year-old was carried 1,300 feet. And the doctor said, was the doctor? Somebody in this article said, if he'd have been blown across that field, there would have been more body surface areas abraded and contused than what he had. He was the most lucky man on earth. But again, not as lucky as anyone who didn't get in the path of the tornado.
Yeah.
Once he was in the tornado, he was lucky.
Yeah.
Because he's lucky that he came down unharmed with nary a scratch.
Exactly.
Basically landing right on his feet. But probably would have preferred just not to have been tornadoed at all. Is that a verb? Can I do that? Tornadoed?
You just did.
Sure.
Nice.
Who's going to stop you?
I don't mind when you verb a noun.
Storm Chasers? You guys watch any of these episodes of Storm Chasers on the television program viewing monitor screen?
Usually a letdown. I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah, I watched one episode in anticipation of this, and it's pretty boring.
Horribly boring.
And I watched one of the ones that is supposed to be the most exciting one.
Yeah, the only time it gets exciting is when the hail gets really big.
Yeah, because hail and tornadoes can get like the size of a softball.
Oh, yeah. I saw one episode where the truck, every window in the whole vehicle was smashed out, and so they turn that vehicle around and turn around because they didn't want to catch a grapefruit-sized hail in the face.
But there's also that TV show, which you referenced earlier, Destroyed in Seconds.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you see the one with the Polish folk dancing team and the bus?
No, I missed that one.
Sounds like a setup to a joke.
There's an F, just an F1, just a wee F1. the bus got caught up in it, and of course they had their cameras on at the time.
Right.
Watching the tornado across the street and lifting their bus. Well, I don't know if it lifted it up, but it definitely
tossed
it.
Yeah, if it's an F1, it's not lifting it. It's just pushing it. Because it pushes it into the ditch.
It flipped it and dragged it down the road.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Oh, well.
The subtitles were especially enjoyable.
Certainly, because of the foreign folks yelling and screaming in another language.
And then there's another one where there's a tornado caught on a bank surveillance camera.
Okay.
Which, weirdly, this bank surveillance camera has dead center in the middle of the house across the street. And it's the only thing in the you can see in the...
Evidently, they believe bank robbers live there.
I guess so.
So we've got to keep an eye on those folks.
Or more likely, the security guy in the bank decided he wanted to keep an eye on the hot chick
the lovely farmer's daughter.
And watching the tornado whip through the banks from like six different angles was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
And there's... so we got movies then. The most obvious is probably Twister.
Yeah.
Right?
How can you have a tornado episode without talking about Twister?
I give that a 4 out of 10.
Really?
That's Steven Spielberg masterpiece?
Yeah.
I probably would have given it a 7.
Was
really?
It Steven Spielberg?
Maybe I was having a bad day.
Hey, it's Spielberg.
Is it? It's directed by Jan de Bont.
Oh, was he not involved? Kevin.
Was Spielberg not involved? Have I got that wrong? I totally thought
this
Spielberg
is your
was
only
involved.
Field of expertise on this podcast.
Is he not? Was he not a producer? He wasn't involved in any way, shape, or form?
He's not listed as a producer. It is an Amblin Entertainment studio production. But
so that is his company.
Which is Spielberg, but he's not. He doesn't have producer credit.
Huh.
He might have executive producer, as he put up some money or something like that.
He may just like tornadoes.
I was totally convinced.
Hey, Torin, do you want to reenact a scene from Twister?
I don't remember any of the scenes.
Oh, my God! Come on, get over here! Run!
No, I can't. There's a tornado in the way.
Oh, my God, a tornado. Quick, grab the instruments. We're going to have to take a measurement.
Oh, I can't reach. The wind is too. The wind.
Oh, my God, get out of the way. Run!
Twister, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, throwing hell and hard. You got a winning formula
It's the shouty movie. That's all they did in the whole time. They talk a little bit, and then the Twister arrives. And,
Yeah, there must have been some setup.
Throw in Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton. That's a winning formula, my friends.
I'm willing to give it a 5 out of 10, a little bit more than you.
Yeah.
It was fun just because of the special effects and the...
Having read... I wish I wrote down the website. It was like tornadosomething.com. It's where I got the statistics for some of the facts about how far things can be carried in a tornado.
Right.
But they said they got a lot of things wrong about tornadoes, which is not surprising. Because, as previously stated on this podcast, Hollywood has been lying to us all.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was... watching it in the big screen, watching it in the theater, I think I may have even seen it on an IMAX screen.
They had IMAX back then?
Oh, yeah. I had IMAX screens. And I made sure I was in a theater with a great sound system. It was really... it was impressive. I liked it when they tore through the drive-in.
Yeah. It's a visual spectacle, and that's why I'm willing to give it the 5 out of 10. There's really not much going on there.
Did you guys know?
I was really a big fan of Helen Hunt at the time.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
I like Helen Hunt.
Yeah.
Okay. I like her a lot. Really good. I think she's a fine actress and when she was younger.
Yeah, she was a handsome lady.
Did you know there were plans for that movie Twister to build a 40-foot tornado inside a huge building?
Like, as if in the movie, a tornado would be inside of a building, they would be trapped inside the building with a tornado and
No.
For the special effects
purposes. Special effects. But it turned out that it would just look wimpy compared to what could be created on a computer.
Right. It really pushed the boundaries of CG at the time, right? Because they had to model gaseous vapor spinning and debris and all that other stuff.
Because everything's, like, whipping so fast, you didn't have to have that, like, clearly defined, like, hard line stuff, which was really difficult to do in CGI at the time.
Except
right?
for the cow.
You could...
remember that?
Yeah, I remember the cow.
Yeah. It's great.
You got a chuckle. Everybody chuckled about that one.
I know, I like it.
But yeah, so it really kind of...
Except for the vegetarians. No, they probably chuckled too.
Yeah. Funny.
Would they be allowed to eat the cow if it died from a tornado?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be cruel. Just say, hey, look, dead cow.
Yeah, well, no slaughter.
Don't look at me. I'm not a vegetarian expert.
What are you going to do? Let it rot? This is good food right here. I'm going to make some cruelty-free meat. Just raise cows and let them die of old age.
I thought you were going to say you were going to raise cows in Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
Well, that might, yeah.
And
that
would be harvest, a little cruel. Just harvest them when they land.
That's right.
Yeah, actually.
Pre-tenderized.
I don't technically know if that's cruelty-free.
bio mobile home parks, right? And just put giant cow pens and call it cruelty-free
with
meat.
Big skewers on the outside in the air.
Big deadly implements big around the...
So they get picked up by the tornado and slammed into the skewers.
And your barn is made of giant shuriken.
That's right.
they self-butcher. Yeah. Oh, what kind of cut of meat is this? Tornado. Yeah, that's not a prime rib. Tornado that's a cyclone.
Tornado beef. It has been tenderized by the air itself.
Mother Nature.
You know what? That would sell big in Japan.
I know. I could charge so much for it. Oh, sorry. The tornado beef stock's getting low. There haven't been many tornadoes this year.
Can I TM that? Tornado beef TM?
TM.
You're TMing everything.
TMing my idea? Come on, man.
No, on behalf of you.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Unlike The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah. Wizard of Oz.
Which was, the tornado was created by a cotton muslin? Muslin? Muslin tube? Yeah. I don't know what that word is.
Muslin, isn't that a type of fabric?
Yeah.
Cotton tube.
Yeah.
Didn't move like a real tornado. But that's okay. It was 1955.
No, it was like 1939 or something like that. Yeah. 1942.
Yeah. So loosely woven cotton fabric.
There you go. You know who does have tornado powers?
Is that?
I know.
Red Tornado, yeah. My favorite superhero
Torrance
of all time.
Favorite superhero.
I've got six miniatures on top of my TV.
Oh,
holy cow.
One flashing back to Wizard of Oz for 1 second, I just realized the tornado landed the Dorothy's house on the witch.
Yeah.
Yet another fatality due to debris.
That's right.
Debris and detritus.
The house does right? count as debris. Red Tornado.
Now, why is it your favorite superhero of all time? I've heard you say this before, and I've never really gotten an adequate explanation.
Have you ever read a tornado? Oh, actually, that's not a very good red They're red? Actually not very good. But Red Tornado, the character, is awesome.
He's an android, right?
Well, he's a robot.
Okay, robot.
With tornado powers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's got a wicked, cool cape.
What's his origin story? Like, who made a robot with tornado powers?
He was,
like, what was
originally
the point
a bad guy.
Okay.
Built by T.O. Morrow, the scientist.
Yeah, okay.
To infiltrate the Justice Society.
So
well, he the Justice League or the Justice Society.
He made it to pretend to be a good guy, yeah, but in fact he was a sleeper cell.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And he defeated them, but then I think he felt remorse in some way. He had gotten some kind of, he got a soul somehow.
Yeah, right.
And he became he vindicated himself.
Releasing his
By defeating Tio Moro and saving the Justice Society.
Now, there's a whole lot of, like, some second string heroes and villains that have, like, spinny bottom tornado-y powers. Like, wasn't there, like, a guy called the Top or something? The Spinning Top?
Yeah.
Well, and there's a villain called Cyclone. He's got, like, spinning blades and stuff like that, right?
Don't know. But Red Tornado has tornado powers. Like, they are tornado powers. He, his bottom half turns into a tornado and
yeah.
flies around. And then he can also create tornadoes out of his hands and whatnot.
Does he do that by mixing hot and cold air?
Yeah, like, what's the technology
I
behind
assume that?
That
is true, yes.
Okay.
He can only fight crime under the exact right
elemental conditions.
Yeah.
He only operates in Oklahoma and Kansas and
yeah.
Missouri.
Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
But as for other movies, I can only think of A Serious Man. That has a tornado at the end. Not to ruin it for anyone.
Spoiler. I guess you should say spoiler before we ruin the movie.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you can ruin that movie by saying things that happen, because that's not really what the movie's about.
Well, you can't ruin that movie because that movie sucks.
And you don't.
Oh, whoa. Disagree. Negative Nelly.
A dissenting opinion isn't allowed around the round table?
No, you can dissent.
No. Yep. What we're not
dissenting.
We're not allowed to make fun of you for a dissenting opinion?
Not at all. Not
we're
at
not
all.
Allowed to make fun of you making fun of us?
Here's the thing about A Serious Man. I can understand that people don't find it entertaining because it is kind of hard to get entertainment out of it, but it is a brilliant movie, brilliantly constructed.
Like 90% of all Coen Brothers films.
Yeah.
Oh, I am a huge Coen Brothers fan.
Okay, maybe 85%.
Huge Coen Brothers fan. I don't have a problem with the Coen Brothers. I have a problem with this movie.
It's weird.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
I think I liked
it. It's not necessarily the movie you might expect.
It is a massive thinker. I think it's a bigger thinker than any of their movies, really.
What?
Kevin disagrees.
Listen, you got to read. Okay, now I'm going to have to link this on the podcast.
It's not a bigger thinker than The Man Who Wasn't There.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
You're going to have to read the write-up by Todd Alcott.
Oh, yeah, great. Tell me more. Who's Todd Elcott?
Todd Elcott's a screenwriter. I read his blog. He is a friend.
What's his blog called?
It's called What Does the Protagonist Want at toddelcott.com. We'll link it. He's friends with, who's the guy who does the voice of Dr. Venture on the Venture Brothers? So that's how I found out about him. Just really, really good write-ups on analyzing story structure in movies. The guy's an insider in the industry. He's a screenwriter. I think he wrote Ants, A-N-T-Z.
The sorry, the redheaded ugly stepchild. Bugs Life?
Of Bugs Life, I still, Ants was good, but yeah, Bugs Life was better.
Yeah, that Woody Allen. I can't say Woody Allen.
But anyway, he has a 12-part blog dissection of A Serious Man that I think once you read it, just opens your eyes to the layers of intricacy and the message behind that movie. Now, you can still respect that and then go, yeah, but the movie was not entertaining. I can understand that, but I don't think anybody should be allowed to say the movie sucked.
Oh, for those of you who don't know what A Serious Man is, it's a movie about a Jewish fellow who is going through a crisis in his family and at his work.
So here's the thing. I go to films, watch movies to be entertained.
Right.
If you concede the fact that it's not entertaining, then it's not a movie I want to see.
Well, I think it can be entertaining, but I can understand when people don't find it that way. That's their own damn fault, though. Specifically you.
Right. It's a movie, which ostensibly people go to watch for entertainment, that may or may not be entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah, I'm going to throw it in the suck category.
Okay. It's deep, and you're not.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm thick.
Well, we got the Flash like to make tornadoes. Superman as well. Didn't he put out fires by like trying to spin around it really, really fast and creating a tornado to suck the oxygen out of the...
Flash did a lot of things, man.
Yeah, I know.
What about the Cyclone superhero I was talking about?
Cyclone in DC is the granddaughter of the original Red Tornado.
But I think, okay, that must be Marvel. He's got saws on the back of his arms and he like spins.
But you have to understand that a cyclone is not necessarily a tornado.
Oh, I do understand that.
Okay.
We didn't talk about tornadoes on Mars.
There's no tornadoes
in space. There's no air in space.
That's true, but Mars, there's air in some places in space.
Oh, there's an
specifically
atmosphere.
Specifically around planets.
Right.
Mars, very similar to our planet in many ways, has an atmosphere, and apparently dust storms abound. Sometimes the whole planet is obscured by a dust storm, and dust devils that soar higher into the atmosphere than terrestrial tornadoes and hurricane-like storms as big as Texas appear on Mars.
Woo.
So massive tornadoes or dust devils.
I don't like the word dust devil. I'm going to change it to dust angel.
What would we call Tornado Alley on Mars?
Probably something Latin. Tornadus Alleyus.
Tornadus Mons. Yeah. Well, that'd be Tornado Mountain.
We now know that they can go up hills. That myth is debunked. So.
Olympus Cyclonus.
Olympus Cyclonus. There's that tornado in Jupiter. The big red eye, right?
That's a tornado.
Isn't that? It's like a spinning storm of giant proportion.
It's actually anticyclonic.
Yeah. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
It goes the opposite direction than it should.
Stick that in your cyclone chamber and smoke it.
It's a spinning storm.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Uh-huh.
It spins constantly in a fixed orbit.
Yeah.
But it goes the opposite to the Coriolis effect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's not a tornado?
No. It's basically a supercell, if you want to put it
in. Oh, and the supercell is what creates tornadoes.
Right.
To be a tornado, it's got to touch down to the surface. Yes. We don't know or think that the great red spot touches down. I don't even know what there is to touch down. Jupiter's such a complex thing. It's not a big ball of gas. Well, underneath the big ball of gas is certainly something.
Something.
A bigger ball of gas. No.
Well, possibly things that would be gaseous, but because of the gravity have been compressed into solid matter.
It's just some super fat dude who loves to eat burritos.
It's a brown dwarf.
It's
an orange dwarf.
It's just a super fat dude who loves to eat burritos right at the center of that all.
Yeah, there's that.
Ball of gas. Do you think, did they name Red Tornado after that big red spot on Jupiter?
No.
No? You said so decisively.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because it's not a tornado?
They named the Red Tornado probably after the original Red Tornado, which was a fat lady in long underwear who wore a pot on her head, if I recall.
Are you serious? That's a weirdo story.
Remember that? Are you sure you're not thinking of Tornado Tyrant?
No.
Or Tornado Champion?
Nope. we will put a photo, a drawing of the original Red Tornado right beside the newer Red Tornado on CausticSodaPodcast.com for everyone to behold. Hey, before we go, Body Worlds is coming to back to tell us World of Science. We should have a field trip.
Okay.
Oh,
take some photos.
Is it? It's coming back.
Should we invite some fans?
Podcast. We have fans.
I don't know. We can
I know people listen.
We can put it on Facebook.
If what if they have they might have a Science World After Dark at the time that's
scary.
Going on. It's great because they keep the kids out.
Oh yeah,
right. Costs some money, but they keep the kids out, and they sell beer and wine.
Woo-hoo. Oh, caustic soda party.
That's what I'm saying. We should we should organize
Body
a caustic.
Bloosh! I got my gin on the dead chicken.
So disturbing. All the things they things they choose the bodies to do. Right.
Oh, in the meantime, remember. Contrary to popular belief, opening the windows of a house will not reduce tornado damage. In fact, it may increase damage from weaker tornadoes by drawing more debris inside the house.
They did that on Mythbusters, too.
Stop saying debris.
They did that on Mythbusters as well.
I'll stop saying debris if you stop saying... Next time on Caustic Soda. I don't remember them taking out the piece of my brain that has memory.
I'm impressed with the doctor that said, yeah, sure, let's do it. I've been itching to get my hands on a 12-year-old brain.
This is going to put me in the book.
For those masturbators whom snacks could not cure, Kellogg suggested circumcision without anesthesia.
Ah!
I can't get it up because I had cornflakes.
I love the fact that the cure for that was vibrators.